acting and reenacting as many events, as contingencies as possible, so that you'll know what to do when the time comes for you to deal with whatever situation arises. The key is preparation. Even for marriage. You see, what's so funny, I've said this so often. Here we go. Everybody in the United States is required to have a minimum of 12 years of education. And then many go beyond that into college or whatever it is and so forth. But do you know that rarely is there even one course taught on marriage? And yet, you're going to spend more time with that other person than you are going to be doing anything in the rest of your life. And we wonder why so many marriages fail. Why? Because to be have an effective marriage, you need to be prepared. You need preparation. That's why we emphasize over here and again and again in this congregation, that for those that are going to be married here, we require them to go through extensive premarital counseling for preparation. Because what makes one successful in life is preparation. Now, all these things that I've mentioned are important, but they are absolutely subservient to the call of God on your life and on my life. That is who you and I have been created to be. You see, we may choose to do whatever we want to do in life. We're given the free will to do whatever we want to do. But if you're ever going to fulfill what you are, were made to be, you've got to be able to respond to the call of God. The portion today that I just read, the part of the portion today, which I just read, is about the elevation of Joshua. Now, he becomes, as we all well know, he becomes the leader of Israel here in this passage. And this is a huge transitional period for the nation of Israel. Up to this point, Moses has been the dominant person. From Exodus chapter 2 all the way through Deuteronomy, the rest of the Torah, it's Moses this, Moses that. Everything is Moses. But Joshua was called to accomplish something that Moses could not accomplish, which was to take them into the promised land. And I guarantee you that whatever you are called to do in your life, you're called to accomplish something that someone else could not do. This is specially reserved to you from the Lord. And just because we're called to do it, it doesn't mean that we will fulfill it. It's like Yeshua said, many are called, but few are chosen, right? Many are called, but few are chosen. That means not everybody does it. Not everybody fulfills it. What is it going to take? You see, and it's interesting, in Jewish tradition, this is what they say about Abraham with respect to the chosen people. We all know the Jewish people are called to be the chosen people of God. And the question that was the rabbis wrestled with was, why was it the Jews who were chosen as opposed to all the other nations? And the answer was, in the rabbinic discussions, was that God offered the choice to many nations, but only Abraham responded. And so he gave it to him. You see, that's the key. It's how we respond to the calling is what determines the choice. And a large part of a proper response is preparation. You see, Joshua would never have been called to be the leader of Israel if he had not prepared. And the question is today, is how do we prepare for the call of God? You see, God tells Moses here in this passage that we just read, climb up to the mountains. These are the mountains of Moab. And if you want to know where that is, those of you that have been in Israel, if you look on the Israeli side of the Dead Sea, and you look across the Dead Sea and you see a series of mountains, right on the other side of the sea, those are the mountains of Moab. And that's where Moses climbed up to be able to see the land. Oh, thank you. Yes, my voice is going out quickly. Thank you very much. And he goes up the mountain. The Lord tells him to go up the mountain. He says, look out, you're going to see the promised land, but you're not going to go in. This is where you're going to die. And then Moses turns to the Lord and says, Lord, someone is going to have to be appointed to lead the people into the land. And then the Lord speaks to Moses, and this is what he says. It's right here. He says, take Joshua, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hands on him. A man in whom is the Spirit. Let's repeat that. a man in whom is the Spirit. Interesting. It's not coincidental that Joshua got that way. He wasn't born that way, I can guarantee you. In fact, it's very similar to the statement that Yeshua's apostles made when problems arose in the early community about the distribution of food. We might remember that in the book of Acts, that there was a problem in distributing food. And so the apostles didn't have time to deal with it. So what did they tell the people to do? They told them, choose 7 men full of the Spirit to handle this matter. To do anything for God, in fact, to do anything in life, in reality, to do anything significant in life, you've got to be a person of the Spirit. There is no other way. You might put on a good show and not be full of the Spirit. You know, you might be a real charismatic person or a real hard worker, and you might be able to accomplish all these things. But unless you are a person of the Spirit, you are never going to accomplish anything in this life that is going to have any ultimate lasting meaning. The question is, how do you get there? It's interesting. A little bit earlier in the Torah, we have a situation where Moses builds a tent of meeting. This is before the tabernacle was built. And he built this tent of meeting so that the people could go and inquire of the Lord. And Moses himself would go into this tent of meeting. When he would go, everybody would stand up and they would watch. And then as he approached the tent of meeting, the Shekinah would come down. All the people would fall on their faces before the Lord. And then the scripture says Moses would come out after he'd been with the Lord, go back to the camp. But then this is what the scripture says in the next verse. It says this: his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. What was Joshua doing? He was meeting with the Lord. You see, Joshua didn't know, I can guarantee it, he didn't know what he was called to do. He was simply Moses' aide. But the fact of the matter is he knew that whatever Moses had, he wanted. And the only thing that the only way he knew he could get it was by meeting with the Lord. The first step of preparing ourselves to respond to the call of God is to be a person of the Spirit. And what does that mean? What does it mean to be a person of the Spirit? Does it mean that you receive Yeshua as the Messiah, as Lord? Well, yes. Does it mean you have some kind of maybe subsequent experience, be full with the Spirit? Yes. But there's a lot of people that have had a lot of experiences with God, and they are no closer to God than anybody else on the street. Because what makes a person a person of the Spirit of God is to be within the presence of the Lord all of the time. It's called meeting with God daily. You see, it's nice to be able to come here on a Saturday morning and worship the Lord. It's nice to be able to go to special meetings and have a nice time. But unless you're meeting with God at a minimum on a daily basis, you will never be a person of the Spirit. It's not even possible. It means daily praying, reading the scriptures and studying the scriptures, meeting with the Lord. It's not just a ritual. It's not just a repetitious kind of behavior. It means coming to face with Him and speaking with God and allowing yourself to become a person of the Spirit. That's number one. There's no other choice. Number two, in preparing yourself to become, to respond to the call of God, is having a mentor. This is what it was said about Joshua. It said in another place that he was Moses' aide from his youth. In other words, wherever Moses went, Joshua was right with him. Moses obviously instructed Joshua, delegated responsibilities to Joshua, gave Joshua tasks. Joshua was being prepared, though not even knowing what he was being prepared for, by hanging out with Moses. Joshua watched Moses and he imitated him in what he was doing, and it prepared him. You see, it's the same with Yeshua and his disciples. Yeshua lived with them. He taught them. He delegated tasks to them. He corrected them. It was all for the means of preparation. And you know what? The disciples were able to accomplish something that Yeshua could not, which was to go to the nations. You see, Yeshua says this. Sometimes we forget. We misunderstand its meaning. This is what Yeshua says. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Moses led Israel up to the edge of the promised land. Joshua brought him in. Yeshua made Israel holy and enabled her to become the nation that God wanted it to, but the disciples brought it to fulfillment by going to the nations. You see, that which we're called to do, whatever we're called to do, means that we're going to accomplish something that no one else could. Even the disciples were able to accomplish something that Yeshua was not able to do. The question is now, how about here? Each person in this room, you need a mentor. We all need mentors. Who is a mentor? It can be anybody. Chavra leader, committee head, an elder, someone who you can talk to, pray with, get counsel for, get directions from, receive tasks to be able to accomplish, and then be able to ask, how did I fulfill that task? Because if you want to be able to be prepared for the call of God in your life, you got to do it this way. You need a mentor. It's part of the preparation for whatever we're called to do. Number three, you've got to learn to be faithful in little things. That's the third step. You see, wherever Moses was, so was Joshua. He was at his beck and call. And most of the time, whatever Joshua was doing, I can guarantee you, was probably not glorious, because he was always doing what Moses wanted him to do. Yeshua says this, he who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. It's called the proving time. You see, we get all excited when we start talking about the call of God. Oh, wow, I can become all that God has called me to be. I can enter into this fullness of life. I can do all these great things for the Lord. Great. Do you clean your room? Do you pay your tithes? Do you get to work on time? Do you come to worship on time? Whoops. Do you follow through on commitments no matter how small they are? Do you volunteer for tasks here that aren't overly appealing? You see, home, work, and family, here, this congregation, home and work is God's proving grounds. It's all preparation. It's no accident the people that you're working with. See, sometimes we get really irritated at the people we're worshiping with, people in our families, people we're working with. We get all irritated about it, and yet there's no accident. It's God's plan of preparation for you to respond to the call. The most important issue for you and me in responding to the call of God is having the character of God in our lives. And the only way that character is going to be developed is by going through a proving ground, which is often quite challenging and quite difficult. Number four, in preparing to respond to the call, fulfilling responsibilities with grace, gratitude, and with excellence. Everything that we're asked to do, everything that we're expected to do, is preparation. It's preparation for the call of God that He has on our lives. You buck the preparation, and you're going to buck the call of God. That's the way it works. I've shared this before in a couple stories here, but I'm going to share it again. We all know Frankie here was bar mitzvahed here a couple weeks ago. I didn't say this then, but I'll say it now. But I think I might have told him. I can't remember if I told him or not. But a week before my bar mitzvah, my father asked me to take the trash out. I got so angry, so furious about the request. Why? Who knows? But that I went up the stairs, smashed my hand into the wall going up the stairs, and broke my hand. And so I had to go to the doctor. I had it wrapped up in a cast. And so for my bar mitzvah, carrying the Torah, reading for the Torah, I had my hand in a cast. Rabbi said to me, hey, how'd that happen to you? You know, I loved him and said, well, I was on a football game or something like that. I had to say, well, I got angry at my father and punched the wall and broke my hand. What a way to be prepared for your bar mitzvah, right? Here we are, the time of life to be responsible, to follow God, to be His person, a person of the Spirit like Joshua. And I got so ticked off about bringing out the trash that I break my hand. Was I ready? No, not even close. Wasn't ready, wasn't even close. The point is that the things that we're asked to do is a preparation for the call of God. Now we need to look at Joshua's life. Was he ready for the call of God by fulfilling his responsibilities? Well, one of the classic stories of Joshua is the story of the spies. And remember, he's one of 12 people who are asked by Moses to go into the promised land to spy out the land. Now, what they were asked to do was not all that big of a deal. They simply were asked to go in, spy out the land, report on its condition, come back, tell the leaders. He just needed to know. That's it. We all know the story. They came back, 10 of them, and they started complaining. God never asked about any complaining, but they started complaining. There's giants. We can't do it. All this other kind of stuff. Joshua came back, and Caleb, and they both said, yeah, there's giants, but God's bigger. But the problem was these 10, they started complaining about it and so forth. And what happened to the 10? They lost the call. They lost the call. They were so close. They were within a whisper of becoming all that God had called them to do. But a little complaining killed it for those 10. Remember this. Many are called, but few are chosen. Let's see what the New Testament has to say about things that we're asked to do that we don't particularly like to do, or we can't figure out why we're being asked to do them, or what this has to do with my life, or the call of God on my life, or whatever it might be. Whatever it is, let's see what the Scripture says from Colossians. Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Messiah you are serving. So for you young people, when your parents tell you to do something you don't want to do, it is the Lord Messiah you are serving. When your employer tells you to do something that seems to be beneath you, seems to be, oh, wow, I'm a professional, I shouldn't have to do that. It is the Lord Messiah you are serving. When you're expected to do something around the home, someone else should have done it, but somebody else needs to do it, or whatever the case might be, it is the Lord Messiah you are serving. And if you complain, like the spies, it could be just like the poor guy who got the pinkest sword, right? And as Ed described it, it was a lot more gruesome than we all thought. Wouldn't want to be one of those guys, okay? The fact of the matter is that if we're going to prepare for the call, whatever we're asked to do, fulfilling tasks with gratitude, graciousness, and excellence, that's what prepares us for the call. Last point is the call itself. You don't know when it's going to come. In fact, we often don't know even what it is when it does come. But when the call comes, we've got to be prepared. You see, Joshua, he likely assumed that Moses was going to take him into the promised land. Joshua probably did not know that Moses wasn't going to make it. Came as a complete surprise. But he was ready. And they laid hands on him and commissioned him. I want you to repeat this one more time with me. God has a calling on my life. Let's say it. God has a calling on my life. I can't tell you what that calling is, when it's going to come about, where it'll be, but it's there. And now's the time to get prepared. We need to be full of the Spirit. We need to be mentored. We need to be faithful in little things. We need to fulfill our responsibilities with grace, gratitude, and with excellence. And then we need to be ready. And then the call is going to come. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for the call of God that you have on everybody's life in this room. Lord, We don't know what it is. Or I don't know what it is. But you do. And Lord, the call that you have for each person, whether it's to be a great father, great mother, whether it's to be a secretary and be an example, or a nurse, or a teacher, or a lawyer, or whatever it might be, or someone who enters the ministry full time. Lord, whatever it is, Lord, it's what you've called each person to be. And Lord, you want them to be your example, to do it in excellence, to become all that you've called them to be, oh God. And Lord, we need to be ready for the call, Lord. We need to be ready to respond, to say yes, just like Joshua was ready, Lord God, at a time of a crisis. Lord, we need to be ready too, whatever it might be. Lord, I just ask that you would prepare our hearts, Lord. Help us to get ready for the call, Lord. Help us to put our hand to the plow and not look back, and for you to accomplish all that you're going to in our lives. As we submit to you, Lord, we receive it in Yeshua's name. Amen. Let me close with the Aaronic benediction. If you need prayer after the service, please feel free to come forward. Also, and someone will pray for you. Also, the bookstore will be open, and we have Oneg downstairs, which is our lunch. So please join us for that. But let's close with the Aaronic benediction. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmarecha Yarer Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha Yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace through the Prince of Peace. In Yeshua the Messiah, we pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Let's have a good week in God. Amen. best people or better people, you know, but to be a light and so on. I'm going to do a little test here. Here's a test. Who here is a member of a gym or a fitness center? Raise your hand. You're a member of a gym or a fitness center. Come on, keep your hands up. It's not very many. You need to be. You need to be. Okay. And who's a member of the Jewish Community Center? Raise your hand. Okay. About half. I would just say this. You might want to be challenged to make the Jewish Community Center your fitness center, your gym, to be part of that community, to participate in that community. Even if you don't, even if you don't want to join a gym, which you probably should, and even if you don't want to join the JCC, which you probably also should, then at least go to functions over there occasionally. There's activities going on all the time. And you can certainly participate because we want to be a light to our people. Whatever we do, our goal is, in this congregation, to worship together, to share together, to eat together, to work together, to live together, and the result is the Shekhinah, the glory of the Lord, will rest upon us, and we'll become what that light shows on every night, every evening. That light, big light, beams through that Star of David up over the balcony so that the whole city can see we are the light of the glory of Israel, you see? And it's because we believe that Yeshua is the Messiah. We are the Jewish expression of that belief. Let's see the glory of God fall upon us. Amen. We're going to close the service today with the sounding of the shofar. And so you need to get your handouts again. And your siddur and your handout. The first one, you want to take your handout and turn it to page 2, the bottom of page 2 on the handout. Okay. Sure. So at the bottom, I will read it. Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'chesef liyom hagenu. Ki chok l'Yisrael hu mishpat le'elohei Yaakov. Sound the shofar when the new moon appears, at the turning of the year, at the returning of our solemn celebration, for this is a statute binding on Israel, an ordinance of the God of Jacob. And turn with me now to page 15 in the Siddur. Page 15 in the Siddur. And we're going to want to read this together, the shofar service. The shofar service. Page 15 in the Siddur. All together. Our God, and God of our fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, you are God, and your word is true forever. We are about to sound the shofar on this day of remembrance. We remember that the shofar was blown to gather our ancestors together for battle or solemn assembly. Even so, we read of the shofar that will sound in the last days. At the sound of the seventh shofar, as the Holy Spirit spoke through John, your bowls of wrath and judgment will be poured out upon all who resist your kingship. At the last shofar, the dead in the Messiah shall be raised. Then those who are alive will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye and caught up with Yeshua in the clouds. We shall meet him in the air and see him as he is. We shall be like him. The Lord shall come with all his saints and defeat the enemies of God. The sound of the shofar leads to the day of Yom Kippur, in which atonement through the blood of Yeshua will be applied to Israel and the nations. Then will come the Feast of Sukkot, in which all nations will gather together and acknowledge you as king. Will this be the day or year upon which your shofar will sound, and not only our prophetic blowing of our shofar? Will this be the year that the cry of Maranatha, come Lord Yeshua, will be fulfilled? Will this be the time in which Israel shouts to Yeshua the Messiah, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord? In that day, all Israel will mourn and repent and receive the Messiah. All the nations will also mourn and turn to the Lord. The saints will be gathered from the four corners of the earth, and those left of unresurrected Israel will be gathered from the nations back to their land. The Lord will be king over all the earth, and so we sound the shofar. So everybody stand with me. And what we're going to do is like we did last night. We're going to say each of these things on the top of page 16 together. So we'll say, Tekiah, and then it'll be the first blowing. And then we'll say Shavarim, and then it'll be the second blowing. Then it'll be Teruah, which is the third blowing. And then the last one is Tekiah Gedolah. Gedolah's not in there, which means the great blowing. And that'll be the long blowing. So let's be ready. Tekiah. Shavarim. Teruah. Tekiah Gedolah.
All right.
All right, let's turn to the page 28 of the Siddur, the Aaronic Benediction. And after the benediction, we'll have Oneg, which is our lunch downstairs. We'll also, the bookstore will be open. If you're a visitor, please bring your visitor card in there, and then you can go down to lunch. You'll get a free gift. Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha Yared Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha Yis Adonai panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace through the Prince of Peace, Yeshua the Messiah. We all said, Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Let's have a good week in God. L'shana tova. Amen.